So tell me something that you're really proud of about Will.
This is actually something that's actually fairly new. Maybe 2 weeks ago, he kept saying colors, and somehow I figured out finally that he wanted markers. Oh, because he uses them at school, and he has markings all over his hand, and he's pointing at them this right here, and I was like, markers? Somehow I figured it out. So now we're gonna buy all the markers I can ever find, because if you want markers, you can have them. I do that with him all the time. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He loves it, and I'm proud of him for that, because he communicated what he wanted, and eventually I figured it out. He's probably so frustrated with me. I use this at school all the time, Mom. What's wrong with you? Right. Figure it out. But
hello, and welcome to SynGap One Stories, hosted by me, Ashley Fry. Every couple of weeks, I spread information and awareness about a rare disease that affects my son, Nathan. It's called SynGap One. I chat with parents, siblings, caregivers, and others about the challenges and successes of their journey with someone impacted by SynGap One. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. Okay, my guest today is Miss Lauren Perry. You probably know her as the woman who literally does all of the things for SRF. She is strong, lovely, caring, empathetic, competent, and tenacious. I was thinking about how I can best describe Lauren, and those were the things that came top of mind, and that's just top of mind. She literally is one of the most capable people I have met in this community. So I know that you all have probably felt a similar feeling about Lauren, because most of us have met her at some point already. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She lives in Northern Colorado with her boys, Colin, who's 15, and Will, her 13-year-old SynGapian. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness. Good. I can't believe it took me this long to get you.
No.
Well, no, I can believe, because we all know how busy you are. On that vein, we probably all think we know what you do. So let's start there. What is your profession?
Sure. I'm operations manager for SynGap Research Fund, as you probably know. It's already 2 years this week, which is crazy. Went really fast, but I sort of do all the things. Not everything. There's some things I can't do, but I'm sort of involved in most of them. It's some capacity. Just the science is sort of beyond me, though I'm trying. And then, all of it. Yeah, I don't know. I do it all. And organizing everybody and whatever I can. And then helping
And you're one of the first contacts that most people meet when they enter this realm, right?
Yeah, usually. I'll set up whatever. Yeah, I say hi. Corey helps a lot too at this point. At first, it was all me though, for sure. We've grown so fast that definitely needed help.
We have.
But yeah, I always try to at least say hi to everybody.
If it speaks anything to how good you are at it, look at how many people stay involved.
Yes, we're really
good. Kudos to you.
Best. Oh, thank you. We have the best community, I think. We're lucky we have all that we have with everyone for how hard it can be with our kids.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah. Okay, so enough about us. Let's talk about Will. Tell me about sweet Will.
Oh, Will, he's 13 now, which is unbelievable. He just had his birthday last month. He is nonverbal. He's kind of, I would say, typical SynGapian. I know they're not all the same, but his are pretty regular. He's got behaviors. He has seizures. He, he's in a special ed class. All the things he needs, but he is the best. He's the sweetest boy. I've been thinking about this a lot. He's actually gotten sweeter and more loving, and I don't know what's going on, but super attached to me, which is fine. But he is just the light in my whole life. Everything about him, I love Will so much. I'm so attached to him too. Oh. Yeah. So
That's he's amazing.
The best guy. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something to be said about children with disabilities. I was listening to a podcast today about neurotypical children and how depression is up in teens and like the causes and things like that. And just listening to the biology of what goes on in a little person's body from ages 9 to 18 is just kind of incredible. But they all go through this period where they kind of separate from their caregivers.
Yes.
And they don't want anything to do with them. You know, they want their independence and they're exploring their, you know, that the whole like decision making on your own. Oh. And I feel like our kids don't really do that. So we get to hold on to them for a little bit longer, maybe a lot longer in those cases.
For their whole life, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm like in it so thick with my 15-year-old. So I can see all the things happening with him. So, and then I'm like, I used to think, oh, this is, well, he won't listen anyway. It's fine. I used to say, like, Will used to be the hard, hard kid. But now I'm like, this 15-year-old situation is much different. And now it's a lot, but it's fine. He's a good guy too, of course, Colin, but a lot of emotions. And then they're like COVID kids. And
I'm
all
not
the
sure
things.
I'm ready for any of that, so, but it's coming for me. I know that fast and furious.
Yes.
So tell me, when did Will receive his SYNGAP1 diagnosis?
Oh, Will was 6. It was 2016. So he was a little bit older than some of the kids. Like, it's nice. A lot of the kids now are getting diagnosed earlier. It took a while to get, really, it was just getting the exome sequencing covered because it was like $10,000 back then. I don't think it's nearly as much now. once we finally got that covered, he'd had other genetic tests that didn't show anything, the quick, you know, array thing they do. And then I remember them like testing for Fragile X because I was like convinced that's what he had for a while. And then it finally showed up and they didn't start doing genetic testing till he was 3 and started having seizures. It took a little while and I know a lot of people, I don't know, maybe because he was older, but I was happy because it was like, I feel like I'd been searching for answers for so long. Like, he was already 6.
Yeah.
And many things were happening. You know, that was the hardest time in his life, was his first probably 4 or 5 years. And then, and then I was like, okay, I get it now. And everything fell into place. And I don't know, it was good.
Right.
So for us. Yeah.
Yeah. So he is 13 now. What does his day look like? It's coming into the summertime now, but what does his typical day during the year look like?
Yeah, he goes to, he's actually in a public school setting now. For many years, he was in a private school and they unfortunately closed during COVID and they couldn't keep going, you know, it was too bad. So he got sent back to, public school, and he's in like a self-contained classroom. It's in a high school. He's middle school, but it's in a high school. It's actually really nice. They bring high schoolers in there, some of the kids that are interested in education or whatever, that kind of stuff. And I think
is it like a buddy program?
Kind of. It's more sort of. I mean, it's kind of random. There's some kids that really enjoy it, but they're getting some kind of credit for it. Yeah. It's good though. And Will, I was thinking about, I don't know, this is kind of off topic, but he loves like neurotypical kids so much more than his peers. think, I don't know, it's just funny to me because he loves attention, you know, and all the kids in his class are like, whatever, we're doing our thing. And he loves getting attention from people. So it's good. But yeah, isn't that funny?
That's really interesting that you mentioned that because, I mean, I'm remembering now there are a good healthy handful of our children who love attention.
Yeah.
And like some of the worst behavior that we see is attention seeking from Nathan.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, you're having a conversation with adults. I'm going to put this block in my mouth and, you know, just like run toward the door and escape.
Yep.
Yeah. That makes
a
lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny to me too. I know. I'm like, oh, and Will be like, I don't want anything to do. Like if he's with a new therapist or provider, or whatever, respite person, if they aren't talking enough with him, he will go away. He's like, I don't want nothing to do with this new person. I'll go find somebody who's going to pay attention to me. It's really funny. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, man. So you have respite.
Some, yeah. We try. Okay. He's got many hours that we can fill, but finding providers here, I mean, just like everywhere, I'm assuming, is really hard. So we go through people like crazy. So, yeah. And then he's had some really good respite providers though. And right now he's got a really good girl. I really like her. So, that's good. I mean, it is what it is. I wish we had more. You know, he's on a waiver here in Colorado and it covers as many hours as he could need. But yeah, just finding the staff for it is impossible. So
yeah.
But anyway, his day, let me think. Okay. He goes to school. Yeah, he goes to school. He gets up, takes the bus to school about 7:45. They leave. And then that's pretty good. It's all day. And then after school, come either the respite provider or I come get him for ABA therapy, which is right now it's 3 days a week, but it was four.
Nice.
Yeah. So ABA is 2 hours at a time when he's at the clinic, and then at home it's 2.5. So he's pretty busy. I mean, that gets into dinner time and right. Yeah, it's good. And then, you know, like he still has speech therapy, like outside OT, and physical. Well, he doesn't have physical therapy right now. Another staff that we can't get over here is physical therapists, like pediatric ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he does that on one of the mornings in the week. So he goes to school a little later on Wednesdays. And then, you know, in the evenings, he either is with me and a respite person, or he goes to his dad's. We're divorced, so he'll go over there a couple mm-hmm. hours and hang out and bond, take a little break from me. Yeah, he's busy, though. Yeah. He's always doing something.
Yeah. So let me ask you, you're the first person I've talked to who has a preteen, teen boy, Syngapian.
Yeah.
How have his hormones affected him? Tell us all about it.
You know, this is crazy, but I haven't seen that big of a difference yet. But I was told he was like starting puberty by the doctor, but I honestly can't see it yet. I'm shocked. I mean, I can see like physical changes. Because Colin, I hope he never listens to this. He's going to be like, what? But I swear Colin was like 11 when things were happening for him. And Will is 13 already. So I don't know if it's just kind of a little bit younger way about them. I've heard that from other people with girls, that it starts a little bit later. But there are a few things, but it hasn't been that bad, which is great. There's other kids I've heard of that are harder, but sometimes with his like stubbornness, I guess, has gotten a little more pronounced. But not in a bad way. It's almost typical kind of, and I'm like, oh, well, you're not going to do it. Like sometimes he doesn't want to get into the bath, or it's kind of these easy things. It's like, I'll just skip it today, you know? So I'm happy to say for now, maybe in a couple years and next year, I'll be like, I was wrong. I had it all wrong.
I hope not. We'll have to do a check-in.
Okay. I'll let you know. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so something that I have been interested I always ask about, you know, like how did he get the diagnosis? And you mentioned that he started having seizures.
Yeah.
And a lot of our patients suffer from seizures, and many of them are treated with medications and diets. Mm-hmm. And Will is one of the maybe handful, if that, of some Syngapians who has VNS, which is a vagus nerve stimulator. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about VNS? What is that exactly?
Sure. It is, I kind of easily explain it like it's a pacemaker for your brain. Like if you know how pacemaker is in your heart, this is a way to sort of correct your brain with electrical stimulation. It's a little device that goes in the upper chest. It's on the left side, close to the vagus nerve. It's fairly, I don't know, they're not very big. Anyway, it's not that big. So it goes in there. It has a wire that attaches and coils around the vagus nerve, which number one is incredible to me. I'm like, how do they even, I mean, they've been doing millions of them by this point, I'm sure, but how they even find it or what, I don't really get it. But anyway, so it, they put it in there and it's got this thing, has a fairly long battery life. Like Will just had his second one put in. And, yeah, his first one he got when he was four, and this is before we knew about SYNGAP or anything. And, and the second one, or because the battery died, there supposedly it was like 9 years or 10 years. I forget how long they said, but his ended up lasting like 8 years. But it uses electrical current, which sends up into your, into their brain and sort of resets how the seizures are running through. I don't know. Sort of resets the brain, basically. Yeah. It doesn't always work, but it works, you know, I mean, it sounds horrible, but it really wasn't as bad as, I know a lot of people like struggle like deciding, but I was like, let's do this. And
yeah,
I don't know, because he was bad. Like, and he's like refractory. I don't know if that's the right word, but, resistant, drug resistant for sure. Like they would work for a month or something, every drug we tried. And then it was like back to having seizures all over the place again. So, so what it does is it sends an electrical current. His is sent every 5 minutes. It sends a little zzz, for 30 seconds. It runs, and you can hear it vibrating sometimes when he's making noise, which is interesting. And then, so I don't know. And then every 5 minutes, and I assume they just get used to it. And like, it's not even a thing because it happens when he's sleeping. He doesn't wake up from it. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how basically it works. I'm probably getting some of that wrong, but
no, this is really helpful. So, is he also on medications? Any anti-seizure medications?
Yeah. So, I do believe, I say this all the time, I don't think it's helped with the absent seizures. Because I see them.
You mean the VNS hasn't helped?
Sorry, yeah, the VNS hasn't helped with that. Mm-hmm. He has two kinds. He has the atypical absence and then the atonic drop seizures. And that was why we were getting it, because his drops were really bad, which many SYNGAPians are. There was one morning, I remember I counted. I was like, I'm finally just going to count these. And I had this little clicker and it was like over 100. I quit counting after 100. I'm like, whatever. It was lunchtime and he'd already been, you know, he was wearing a helmet. And,
right.
Yeah. So... But so I'm like, well, that's when they decided to tell what we could do. And it was like, yeah, let's try it. It was a bunch of thing options they gave us. And that seemed like the less time consuming or something. I don't know. It just felt the best choice for us. So once he had it put in, like I saw zero drop seizures. It was amazing. Like immediately.
Wow.
I know. Which I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to say it, but I swear. And he's had his new one put in. And that's when I was like, we have got to get this replaced because he's starting to drop. And the kid weighs 165 pounds. He's big.
Oh my gosh.
And he's falling over and I'm trying to catch him and I'm falling over.
Lord.
So I was like, we can't go through all this again. So, and as soon as, because he's had it for 2.5 weeks, his new one, that's it. Gone. I haven't seen any since he had that one put in again. It's crazy. Works so well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is, right? I'm like,
okay, so like instantly, like,
yeah,
like have the surgery, turn the thing on.
Yeah.
No more drop seizures.
Exactly. And it's not even turned on all the way. Like it takes a little while. They give it like more juice or whatever every 2 weeks. They turn it up till it gets to full whatever. I don't know the term, but it's all the way turned on. I know. I'm like, God, right away, this is amazing. So, but I have seen already less absent seizures, but so he does still take Lamictal and he takes clonazepam and I swear it's more for mood at this point. Yeah. But the Lamictal will increase when he starts gaining a lot of weight. You can sometimes see the absent seizures come back. So. Yeah, it's
okay. Crazy. All right. So then two tag on questions to this. Do you see any other benefits from VNS? And also, are there any side effects?
Other benefits. I know people ask this a lot, like behaviorally, I guess it works for some kids. Like it helps with the aggression. I haven't necessarily seen that, or I didn't the first time, but I was thinking about, like, that's when Will was at his worst, like, with behavior. When he was 4 and 5, like, it was a nightmare. And it could have been, who knows? Like, it seizures, I don't know what causes them to be aggressive like that, you know?
Right.
Many things, but... Right. So I couldn't say really if there was that big of a difference, but for some people it says it does. This time, I guess we'll see. He's so happy right now. It's like crazy. So it's good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But other like side effects, like zero. I can't even picture one side effect. Like it's crazy compared to meds, which you never know what you're going to get. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's good. I haven't seen anything. Like, maybe, like, the incisions, you know? Like, I don't even call that a side effect because his are 2 weeks later already healed. So, yeah, nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing. That's awesome. I really recommend it. I know it's scary, but really, they know what they're doing. You know, you get a good neurosurgeon and that's done enough of them, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so what about like in between the like getting the new battery, the new one installed? What is the maintenance like? Is there anything that you need to do? Like clearly like can't charge it, right?
Yeah, that'd be great if it could like charge itself. That'd be amazing.
Will, come in, plug in.
I know. There's got to be some way. I bet they'll come up with that one day. Oh, the main thing, there's no real maintenance to it, but we were going in every 6 months. It's become like once a year to have it checked because of COVID and all the things, but they just go in and make sure it's working right. They wave this little wand over it and it sends like data or whatever to the iPad they use and tells them all about it. And they can reset it from the iPad if it needs anything. I mean, that's like it. It's good.
Is it metal?
It's metal.
Like, if he ever needed an MRI, like, what is
it? Oh, yeah. They can't get an MRI. They can, but they have to cover it with a certain something. Yeah. That's actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A good point. I never even really thought about it. I forget about it because it's been so long, but I have a thing on a seatbelt, like a information thing, whatever, in case we get in a wreck. Like, no MRIs because this child has a VNS if we needed it. I don't know. But yeah, I would eventually remember if anything happened. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah. So they can't do that. I guess that's true. But that's like, as far as I know, that's it. It's good. Yeah.
And so he had the new one. So it's a surgery. So they like put him under anesthesia and they install the thing. How has his recovery been?
Like, it's been so good, surprisingly. I was kind of expecting this time because he's so much bigger, it might be different. But because he was 4, he was little when he had his first one. And even that was fine as far as I can remember. I was so tired back then that a lot of the things are kind of foggy from those days. But sad. But for this time, like, I mean, the next day it was like whatever. And it's outpatient. So you go in. I mean, we were there 9 or I guess it's more like 8. Surgery was at 9, whatever. And then we were home by 3. It's just I know. I mean, and he was out. It took him a long time to wake up this time. He was like kind of combative, like, I guess, during the initial falling asleep. So they gave him some extra meds. So it took him like a couple hours to wake up. So that was a little scary, but yeah, but he was fine, you know, and he forgot. And then like everything was totally normal. He slept well, and we just had to watch out for his incisions, like the usual stuff, like he can't swim or whatever for 5 more weeks or whatever. And then like incredible. Yeah. Like barely, you would think it would be worse than it actually is. I don't know. It's like amazing. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So.
Okay, so like when you're talking to people and they're saying, "Oh, you know, I'm considering all these different ways to prevent seizures." So like the ideal patient in your mind for VNS would be like somebody who's having lots and lots of drop seizures very frequently.
Yes.
And like are there any other good candidates in your eyes?
As I recall, even the neurosurgeon said they didn't actually recommend it these days for drop seizures. They would rather do the corpus callosotomy however you say it.
Okay.
But I was like, no, we're going to go back and try this again because that's what worked for him. But personally, yeah. if I was the neurosurgeon, which I'm definitely not even anywhere near that, but if I would, yeah, my ideal would be like, if they're not, well, like drug resistant, they called it intractable epilepsy. They still do, but like, and you're just like, I'm at my end. We're trying all these horrible meds. Nothing's working. Horrible meds. I mean, horrible side effect meds, you know, they're not all bad, of course, but, yeah, I would definitely consider it anyway. And then okay. the drop's just amazing. Yeah. For him. I don't know. I would like to hear what other right. people say. Cause I feel like I'm like, oh my God. And then somebody's going to try it and it's not going to work for them, but I hope it would, for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. helped him a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and so this new device that he got 8 years later, is it any different from the original device he had? Clearly he's a much bigger person than he was when he yeah. was four. Like, yeah. what are the differences from the original?
They're actually better, of course. Like, technology's gotten a little better. The battery life is longer, which is nice. And then, so with his first one, we had to go in every 2 weeks to have it go into the hospital to the neurologist and have them set it like for the next level up, you know. And this one does it on its own. They just program it one time. And our children's hospital is like an hour and a half away. So it's a drag wow. driving down there. And it's through Denver. It's like, ugh. So I'm like, no cities for this girl. So, I think they're just a little, yeah, they're just more advanced. So there's not as much work with them. And then the batteries, like I said, the battery life's longer. And, yeah. oh, I wanted to mention this, though. I was telling Mike about this. What actually happened with his, because he grew so much in that time, mm-hmm. is the wire actually disconnected. Like, it wasn't even connected by the end. Yeah. Because he grew so much. I know. And I was like, it wasn't even working at all. No wonder, you know, like who knows for how long? Cause we hadn't, I think we went in like right. last October maybe, or, and it was like,
oh,
there's impedance. And then and I can't really tell you what exactly the impedance is, but then when he pulled it out, mm-hmm. so he actually had the whole thing replaced this time. It wasn't just the battery. It was the device. And then, uh-huh. and the surgery took longer cause he was trying to, like dig in and get the wire disconnected uh-huh. from the
unwrapping.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they couldn't even do that. I remember him saying like, once it's on there, it can never come off. But I guess I was wrong. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, he outgrew it, which is crazy. Like the, what do you say? Like the fibrous tissue or something like interfered with it. So crazy.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I know.
Okay, so you yeah. also mentioned that he's on a couple of medications
yeah.
that are anti-convulsant, anti-epileptic.
Yes.
But is he on any? So some of our patients who are getting into their teens are, oh, well, and some younger too, are yeah. adding like anti-anxiety medicine. Is he on anything specifically for that?
He is. He takes Celexa. For anxiety, mm-hmm. yeah. We started him on Celexa like 2 or 3 years ago, probably 3 years mm-hmm. ago now. And it has helped so much. I honestly kind of couldn't
really?
Believe it. Yeah, I regretted not doing it sooner.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you know that he was suffering from anxiety a few years ago?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, this is kind of, I don't know if his situation is different than other kids, maybe, but Will has a really bad stomach. Like, he gets really gassy and really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And he had this this ABA therapist that he didn't like. And you could just see him, like, anytime. And he was kind of a strange guy, honestly, but whatever. Mm. He wasn't really with Will very long, but I could see him, like, putting demands on him. And Will would, like, tense up, and all of a sudden his stomach was hurting, and he was getting, like, upset. Yeah, like, you could just see it happening, and it looked finally, I was like, this sounds like anxiety, and it's like manifesting in like pain in his stomach. And it was really, yeah, it was really intense. And then I'm thinking, this happens a lot, like a lot more than I thought. So yeah, and it was like, once he started on it, the stomach pains got much better. Like, it still happens, but not nearly as much. So
oh wow.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, honestly. I still don't, because it does still happen. but it's almost like it was worse because he was trapping all this air inside of his body when he was upset and just coiling up. And yeah. And then of course the therapist, after he left, it was like, he got this one girl he just loves. He still has her. And I'm like, that guy was not very good. Not for Will anyway. Yeah,
not the right fit.
Yeah, exactly. So we saw that. So, and we tried other anxiety meds when he was little, like risperidone. Yeah, is that one? Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Okay. I don't even remember that. And then like clonidine, I think, that works really well for a lot of Syngapians, but for him, it did not. I remember he turned into like a raging kind of little monster and he was like 3 years old.
Yeah. Like, okay. So tell me what it looks like when you know that it's not working, because like so many of us haven't gone down this medication path yet. So, okay. So you can see some physical, you know, angst and notice that it's happening more often, thinking maybe it's anxiety. So you try a med. How do you know that it's failing?
I could tell like within a week, like he was like raging and he was totally different. Like it just was not helping. It made it way worse.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that one.
Oh,
Yeah. And the risperidone, I feel like we tried, I think he was on it for like 2 years and it was okay, but I didn't really notice that big of a difference, but there weren't really side effects. But I remember getting like anxious when we couldn't get it. Like, I don't know if something happened where it was like low in supply for a while. And I was like, we got to get this med. I remember driving to Denver trying to find this med for him. So I was worried about not having it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember eventually weaning it off because his behavior was pretty, I don't know. It just wasn't doing what we thought it would. So it's hard. That is a tough one to say. And then with the new one, with the Celexa, actually, I've seen, he's tried another one too. I think it was maybe Lexapro, and it kind of stopped. Mm-hmm. They're similar though. I don't remember if it was Lexapro, one of those SSRIs, but it was like, it worked at first. And this actually happens, I think, with a lot of Syngapians too. Just the med works at first, and that's really the case for Will. But for some reason, the Celexa is good, but we had to up it after like 6 months. But he's been on a steady same dose for a while now. So probably a year. So that's good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
that's really good.
I think you just know if it's not working. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So tell me something that you're really proud of about Will in the last, I don't know, year, 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, little Billy. You know, I mean, this is actually something that's actually fairly new. Maybe 2 weeks ago, he started just sitting down. He loves his iPad, but I gave him some markers. Like, he's so good at communicating something that he wants. He kept saying like colors, and I don't think markers or something about it was not on his talker. I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't because I asked them to add something anyway. And for somehow I figured out finally that he wanted markers. Oh, because he uses them at school, and he has like markings all over his hand, and he's like pointing at them like this right here. And I was like, markers, you know, somehow I figured it out. And then, so now I was like, oh, we're going to buy all the markers I can ever find, because if you want markers, you can have them. You know, I do that with him all the time. I'm like, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He'll sit down, like he will just sit there and color and color and color, and he's just kind of scribbling, but he loves it. And I'm proud of him for that, because he communicated like what he wanted, and eventually I figured it out. He's probably so frustrated with me, but he's fine. You know, like I use this at school all the time, Mom. Like, what's wrong with you? Right. Figure it out. But it just took me that long. You know, sometimes it takes a while. So, but that is good. That's really to do with communication too. He's gotten so good with his talker, and he always kind of has been, but this has been just like exponentially good. Just finding ways to communicate the things that he wants. Yeah. And knowing, you know, that we're going to respond to it makes the biggest difference. I mean, it is amazing.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. Our ABA therapist once told us, she said, I don't care if he asks for the moon, if he like puts a sentence together and asks for something, figure out how to like harness the moon and give it to him, because it will encourage just that continued communication. And she said, it's like, it sucks sometimes because he will want ice cream, ice cream, yeah. ice cream, exactly. ice cream. but, you know, delivering on that ask and, you know, like it's a reward, right? So yeah. like your community, you're asking for something, exactly. you get what you ask for.
That's so
I feel like Nathan will also be 165 pounds very, very quickly. But, you know, it's we're talking.
I know. I know. I'm pretty sure that's what happened with Will too. Well, that's good with AD. I mean, that is that is like, you know, how long has Nathan been doing it? A couple years now?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. About a year and a half, I'd say. Oh,
good. Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, time is just flying. I know. I kind of remember when you were telling us about it, when you're trying to get somebody. So good.
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been great.
That's been real fun.
Tell me, okay, let's wrap with this. So what are you most proud of in the community, in the SRF community these days?
Oh, I mean, since I work for SRF, I get to see more things, but we every once in a while are starting to recruit for studies. It's been amazing. Like it's happening more and more, and we're trying to get more. I mean, one time we got 20 people within, I mean, it was like 2 days, and it was like, yeah, here you go. Here's all my information that we need. Here's this. And it like, that makes me so happy. And it shows me just how much people really want to be involved and want to help their kids. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's amazing. And how much everybody comes through for stuff like that when we need them, or filling out surveys that we always hear from people like that are doing like whatever even on the Facebook groups, whatever kind of poll is happening, we can get so many people to fill these out. And it's rare as far as I know. Other communities aren't like this. People keep telling me that. And I think it's great. I know we all want to help our kids, and it's something that's really good that we can all put this in and take the time out to fill out the surveys and whatever. And I don't know, it makes me really proud of everybody and happy because we're working really hard.
Yes, we are. I know I say it all the time. We'll do anything for our kids. It might look different from one family to the next, but we will all do anything for our kids.
True, exactly.
All right. Well, Lauren, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy life with SRF and with Will to share with us and chat with me. I always enjoy getting to learn from you and talk to you. And I probably have more opportunity than most these days, but I always thoroughly enjoy it. So thank you so much.
Thank you too. I love your podcast. It's awesome. It's really
thanks.
Awesome.
I'm having a great time.
Good.
Yay. All right, everybody. Thanks for your time. Bye.
All right, bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and like us wherever you're listening. For more information about today's guest and SYNGAP1, please check out our show notes. Your suggestions are always welcome. Please email us at ed@curesyngap1.org.